change this to missing. Okay, we had left off before Yantar talking about the halacha of Palata Shechazera. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Nida that if a woman is in the middle of counting Shechazera, and then all of a sudden she experiences Shechazera that comes out of her, so that's going to disqualify the count. But not disqualify the count in the sense of knocking her back at the beginning, but that day that she's trying to count is not counted towards one of the days of Shechazera. It's called Mestiris Yom Echad. The Gemara derived this actually from Sukkim. This episode from this coming with this parsha, in terms of the Zav count Shemekim, we compare Zav to Zav, etc. But my sense is that all the dust that that's the din, there's a din of Stira Ayadei Epalet the Shepazer. We had a Machlekes Misham, which the last thing we spoke about, was a Machlekes, if you're arriving in the rush, whether that din of Epalet the Shepazer applies only for Taharos, that's a very Tumah and Tahar oriented Aloha, whether the rush says Hechtis to Machzor, now we have one equation, where she has one count for Taurus and one count for the pilot, that's impossible. So it must be that it's also for both. That's what we possibly, unequivocally, we possibly against the Ravid. We possibly like the Rush, this din very much is relevant for us. There is a din of Stiris Yom Echad, and therefore we have to do everything within our power to avoid any complications of Taurus. So the Kushan raised a question, just practically speaking, how do you ever have a case of Taurus Yom Echad? How do you ever have a case of Taurus Yom Echad? In a case of a Zava, if you just do the math, a woman doesn't become a Zava until she has three Re'ios, because we learned that from Sukkim that she has to be Yom and Rabim. It's all this week's coming week's Parsha. Yom and Rabim, Yom is Shnayim and Rabim, Shlosha, she has to see 3 days in a row in order to become a Zava. During each one of those days, she was already a Surah Baila, because once she saw the first time, she was a Zava Ketana, then she sees the next day, she's right to Zava Ketana, she's the third day, she's a Zava Gedola. So clearly she has not been having tashmish for the last couple of days. So by the time she's getting around being a Zava Gedola, which necessitates Svira Shivanikiyam, which raises the question of a Paletas, presumably all the Shepazera is gone already. How long is the Shepazera going to remain in her body? How long is it going to remain viable? So in the bottom of the 28th page of Namakamos, the Tosfos begins to do the math, which really sets us up for what we're holding with this in terms of the Zman Zeh. So we may have touched a little, I don't remember anymore, for Yom, we may have touched a little bit on this, but now we're going to go through the real calculations of the Rishon and the Shulchan Aruch, see how we end up with the Halacha the way we have it, the Zman Zeh. So maybe a little bit of Chazar from before Yom, but it's been a couple of weeks since Yom. So the very bottom of the 28th of the Mamet Amos, so Tosfos in Yidus HaFlam Gimel with Aleph, Rohavi B'Sosra. Omer read the Meshkachas B'Shimsha B'Heter. There is a possibility that she was with her husband B'Heter. She didn't violate the din of Zava Ketana. She Tisto Edei Pleita Achariyaz Gimel Yom Ritzufim. And it's still possible that she could be Soseres, even though she's already has been off limits of Tashmish already for 3 days. Why is that? Kaimon Kirabonon B'Perek Rabbi Akiva. Even Sheish Onos Shleimos. There is a Machlokes HaTanoim in Masechet Shabbos. How long does Shechazera remain viable? You know, the Torah tells us there's a Tumas Shechazera. And the question becomes, Shechazera is only the time of the womb, when the body gives off that Shechazera, that's only true when the Shechazera was still able to potentially impregnate her. So at what point do we say that Shechazera is long gone? Shechazera is already no good, it's not going to do anything anyway. So the Gemara quotes an opinion that it's Sheish Onos Shleimos. An Onos is 12 hours, 72 hours. Basically 3 days, but we'll see in a moment why the Onos Shleimos is important. So the Reed does the simple math. He says that you can have a situation where a woman has already been off limits from her husband for 3 days, but the 72 hours haven't passed yet. The 3 days began in the middle of the day. So she starts to see Dab on the Sunday afternoon, and then she sees on Monday, and then she sees on Tuesday. So she's a Zava Gadol already. And she may begin to start counting Shemekiyim, but she hasn't yet completed a full 72 hours. So she could potentially be Paleta Shepazera. She's still within the 72 hours, and she's already 3 days into her being a Zava, and she hasn't done anything else. So if you, because the halacha requires 72 hours full Sheish Onos Shleimos, therefore it's possible to construct such a scenario. Then Tosfos says, Inami. Well, maybe Bisman Azeh, we can construct a scenario of a woman being Paleta is much easier. She just swore one time. She had a little bit of Riyas Dam on Sunday. And now we're telling her, okay, you're a Zava Gedola, and you have to have Shivanakiyam. So tomorrow she's trying to count Shivanakiyam, she'll still be Paleta. It's less than 24 hours since she had Tashmish. How do you have a Zava Gedola after one time? That's against the Pasuk Chumash. Torah says Yamim Rabim. So Tosfos says, Leah, Achatikun, Rabbi Zeira. This is very Shimon Akiva. Tipas Dam Kechardo. Says Tosfos, Tapizman Azef, we've accepted this din of Rabbi Zeira, that anytime a woman becomes a Nida, she automatically becomes labeled as a Zava. So all of our women, Tosfos Azef, could potentially run into Poletus problems, and they'll start to count Shimon Akiva immediately. Again, 99% of the time, she's not going to be eligible to count Shimon Akiva. She's going to be bleeding for a couple of days. But every once in a while, a woman has a very, very light period, or she has kind of a kesem that caused the trouble. So a woman can sometimes become a surah, and by the next morning, she's ready to roll, ready to start counting Shimon Akiva. So we say, oh, wait a second, you can't start to count Shimon Akiva so fast. We have to make sure that we're clear of any poletus issues. So Tosfos created two scenarios. Either the scenario of the days of the Torah, that it's after 3 days, because min haTorah you only become a Zava Gadola with 3 Re'ios. So Tosfos had to pull out of the hat the Gemara about Vav Ono Shleimos. Tosfos says, oh, Yishlo, it's Manazeh, you don't have to pull any stuff. Manazeh, it's very simple, because the woman becomes a Zava even with one Re'ia. So then Tosfos continues, and he writes, maybe Bizman Hazel, when our women count Shimon Akiva, maybe the Shimon Akiva don't have to be such perfect Shimon Akiva. Maybe the din of Paletas doesn't apply. It's only Chumud Rabban anyway, as Shimon Akiva. Maybe you don't have to follow all the strictness of Shimon Akiva. So he says, nah, it's the Mistama Tzarech Namin Akiva Mizera. He says, Mistama, when Chazal instituted Shimon Akiva for all women as a Sotik Zavos, Ke'en Der Aisatikun. So they instituted, it has to be a Shimon Akiva. What would that be accomplished? We're going to institute Shimon Akiva, but tell you can have a watered down Shimon Akiva. The dinner with Paletas don't apply. That would be silly. But that's just right. The Stava, we observe Shimon Akiva. I'm observing a Sachmil Atzman, which again we said according to Menu Shem is a real, absolute, formal Takhanas Sachamim. So there's no question that our women have to observe Shimon Akiva. They have to be Shimon Akiva Yidah, Shimon Akiva Yizera, the whole 9 yards. So you have to make sure that you don't have any Paletas. So what does that translate Lamaisa to mean? Says Tosfos umikam. Now Tosfos, usually Tosfos doesn't paskin explicitly. Usually they give you all the long list and then you can figure out what the psak is. Here Tosfos writes profession. We can't pasak. Here we come to the conclusion. Isha sheshimsha. If a woman has relations, verasa miyad, and then she starts to see, ein lo lahaschos lispa nikiyim. She cannot begin to count shem nikiyim at achayom dalet till 4 days have passed. Let's say she saw Dam on Sunday morning, she saw Dam on Sunday afternoon, so she is not even eligible to begin to count until Sunday passes, and Monday passes, and Tuesday passes, and Wednesday passes. Because let's say if she had Tashmish on Sunday morning, she would still be Paletah Shepazer for 72 hours till Wednesday morning. So Wednesday cannot be the first day of Shimon Akiva. Because if Wednesday is going to be the first day of Shimon Akiva, so she's going to start counting Wednesday, she won't even realize that, she'll throw off the whole count. So to make sure that there's no concern, no chashash whatsoever of Paletas, you have to have a full 72 hours, to be even vosh, eva shleimus, v'chei pasim v'mei nechanan, and or maybe 2 minutes, depending what the gears in the end of that Tosis is. The bottom line is Tosis says unequivocally that no woman can ever begin to count Shimon Akiva until a minimum of 4 days have occurred, and then and only then could she start to count. Because if you don't have 4 days, then you're running the risk of a Paletah Shelazer. So I'm wondering, we thought when we learned Chassin class it was 5 days, so hang in there where the 5th day came from. So first of all, this entire sheet of Tosis, that you have to be concerned with the Gimel, with the Vav Ono Shleimus, which is what forced them into the corner to create the 4 days. There are Rishonim who disagree with this. If you take a look at the Rambam, the 5th of the Rambam comes. So the Rambam Huchas Sha'ava Satumas, Perkeelah Tihalah. Isha Shepolta Shechla Zera. In Polta Sabesoch Shosh Onos. The Rambam says, if she's Poletos within 3 Onos, Harei Temeketum Kura Keri. Lefikach Soseris Yomecharim Azizava Ki Isha Ra Keri. So comes the Rambam and writes, that the Yef Kotz isn't in a Poletus. Nevada Poletus is so Siyam Echad. That's all, it's 100% right, except the math is not right, says the Rambam, that the Shear of Poletus is Gimel Onus, not Vav Onus. Where did that come from? Where's the discrepancy between the Shear of Tosfos and the Shear of Rambam? So we take a look at the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, see where the discrepancy came. There are 2 Gersos in Rishon, what the Gemara said. The Gemara actually quotes a few different opinions in Tanoim, and then the Gemara presents the Shear of Chachamim. And according to the Gears of Tosfos, the Shita Sechachamim was Vav Onos. According to the Rambam, the Shita Sechachamim was Gimel Onos. So there are 2 different opinions as to what the Maskara. There are multiple Shitas in the Gemara, and it's not clear what the Maskara Se Gemara is. So Tosfos passed in 6, which led them to that whole 4-day issue. Rabbi Paskin 3 never heard of this. According to Rabbi, there's no such thing as waiting 4 days. Whenever she finishes bleeding, and it's been a day and a half since her last tashbish, so then she's eligible to begin to count Shivinikim. But again, we follow the halacha. We'll see in a moment. We follow the halacha of the Shittas of Tosfos. We do not accept the Rambam at all, and therefore, for us, we do follow Tosfos' instructions, and we would never even dream of starting Shivinikim before at least a minimum of 4 days. And again, we have to see where that fifth day came from. It's interesting, just from a pure medical point of view, that there is a machlokes. Strange, the machlokes are shining, the machlokes are yourselves. How long is there a Bible for? Go test it, go to the lab, and figure out how long it's Bible for. Believe it or not, to the best of my limited medical knowledge, they still don't have a clear answer to this question. There was a study several years ago, reported in the New England Journal of Medicine, that there was still chilukei deis, there was still machlokes, and the boom from the experts, just how long Zera really remains viable. Is it 2 days, is it 3 days, and that within the same shiurim that the Rishonim were discussing. Why is anybody bothering? Anyone's not interested in Hilchos Paletas. Why is anybody bothering making these experiments? It's very important. In infertility treatments, this becomes critical in terms of just how much window do you have to time having tashmish, depending on how long that Sarah is going to be viable. So this is best I know. Adiyam is still not clarified. So the machlekes that we showed him is very much still machlekes bisman hazeh, and we earn the Sarah Sada question. We machne like the Shittas HaTosfos. You need 6 onos shleimos, which results in 4 days. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes unequivocally in the 6th of the Mem Kamos, in your day in Siman Kuf Tzadivav Sefer Aleph. Ha-paleta shechvezer b'mei sefirasa. If a woman is paleta shechvezer in the middle of accounting, he will talk vav onos l'shimusha, so seres osayom, lefika. Therefore, what Taisa said, ha-meshamesha sitasa, woman has tashmish v'rasa, ha-chayp v'chuposka, and then she sees blood, and then she stops right away. She's ready to start counting tomorrow. Einam ascheles lispo shevnikiyim, a woman cannot begin to count Shivinikim until 6 onos have passed. Lefikach, ainam aschalos lispa yom hei l'shimusha. Kigom, fine. Now, it's getting a little confusing with the math, but he throws out a calendar. Kigom, im shim shevibotze Shabbos, ainam aschalos lispa ad yom hei. If she hatashbish on Motze Shabbos, which is tantamount to Sunday, so Sunday cannot count because she's still paletus, Monday cannot count. Tuesday cannot count. Wednesday cannot count. The first day that can count is Thursday, which means that she can do a Hefsek Tara on Wednesday. You always do Hefsek Tara. You always start to prepare the day before you're about to count Shivinikim. So basically what she's doing is what we call 4 and 7, which is right out of Tosfos' words. 4 days to clear all paletas. At the end of the fourth day, before Shkia, she checks to make sure there's no more bleeding so she can start Shivinikim. But according to Tosfos and Shulchan Aruch, the first day of Shivinikim is going to be on Thursday. So she counted Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to knock off all paletas. Then she starts on Thursday. So this is not what we do. We do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Then Hefsek Tara at the end of Thursday, and then Friday is the first. So we're still not sure where that fifth day came from.
Why did we wait 96 hours?
We don't really wait 96 hours.
No, why is it wait Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Why don't you just wait 6 onos?
Because you can't start Shivinikim in the middle of the day. Because if you start, you have to count this.
The Tashmish was Saturday night.
Right.
So I go on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, that's 72 hours.
So no, but it's ready, Tuesday night is ready Wednesday, logically. So if she was paletes on Tuesday night, then that day can't count. So it can't count as a Yom Nuki if there's any plate that is there taking place during the course of that day.
Mm-hmm.
So she has to make sure that she's ended the halachic day of any potential paletas day before she can start to count. So that's not really 96 hours, but it ends up to be that extra few hours. That's what I said before. Right, got the math, or I'm going to say it again?
Because she could have been
paletas
Tuesday afternoon.
She could have been, or Tuesday, she had tashmish from Shabbos at 11 o'clock at night. So she could have been paletas on Tuesday night, at 10 o'clock at night. So if she had tashmish at 12 o'clock at night, now she's paletas at 10 o'clock, it's still viable Zera.
Because
it's still within 72 hours.
Then
right, so she's already, so once a day has a chashash paletas, it's off the strike that, it's right off the calendar. So the Yiblah Shavara continues. The Ibshim Shavot Seshav Tzapolatas Leol Dalet, Kolim Eshavushav Motzor Shabbos, Adayin Yom Eres Pesach Onis Shishos Shavushav Esoseros, is what we just said, Hukuch Yom Hei Yerish Lesfiros. So the Ramah continues, V'tifsa V'tifsa Yom Dalet Eseret. So the woman who is about to start Thursday as being the first day of Shivinikim in this scenario, But what should you do? When should you do a Hafsik Tahara? The Asaf, Asaf means before Erev. Like by it takes the Shabbos, it's before Shkia. On Wednesday, she should do Hafsik Tahara. Yom Hei Ola Minyan. So the Ramah, in qualifying the Shulchan Aruch, just told you what to do. So according to standard Shulchan Aruch practice, it translates to mean four days, Kliyaz Ol Chashashos, 4 days, and then seven. Now the Ramah begins. V'yesha Kasu, there are those who write, Shiyesh Lahamtin Ov Yom Echad. You have to add on a whole other day to this count. The Hayru Shlo Tadchil Limnos Ad Yom HaShishi. So the woman who had Tashbish in effect on Sunday, she had the Shabbos, that was Halachli Sunday. So she has to count Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Where did Thursday come from? She can't do Hafsik Tahara until the afternoon on Thursday. And then Friday becomes V'huyeh Yom Rishon L'Sfirasa. Why in the world is that necessary? The Chashina were afraid of the following. Shemer Tishamesh V'yom HaRishon Ben HaShmashos V'tisvo Shehu Yoim. A woman may make a mistake that she may have Tashbish on that first day Ben HaShmashos, and she's going to think that it's still Yom. So when she starts to set her 72-hour Poletus clock, she's going to think, I'm all done with my Poletus issues. Maybe I'll Yom. Shkia is 7 o'clock. I finish Tashbish at 6:30. By 6:30, I have no more concerns anymore with Poletus. I'm ready to start the next day. V'yesha Shulayla. Not a clock. Maybe it was dark already. Again, we're dealing with an old days when everything depended on looking outside the sun. It's a cloudy day. She has no idea when it's really Ben HaShmashos or not. If she'll start to count like the Shulchan Aruch recommended, it may end up to still be within the 72 hours.
Why isn't this a fake speech?
There's a million speakers. This is so wild that we're afraid that she's going to. First of all, the whole Poletus is not.
That's clear. What I'm saying. Even that's going to happen.
And Poletus is already 71 years out. Yeah, right? That's right. That's right. You're right. 100% right. A lot of chumras. Al-Kain says the Ramah, Yesh lehosif od yom echad, debe'ata i'efshe lovele deitos. It's right after Chumash Hadeshet. Now, let's forget the Chumash Hadeshet. If you look at the names of some of the people who were being quoted for this Chumash Hadeshet, the Sefer HaOgur, the Riya Molin, the Shari Dura, these are all the Maharai, these are classic Ashkenazi poskim. These were the late Rishonim of Ashkenazi Germany. They were the ones that pretty much were conveyor. Just about 90% of the minhagim that we have as Zman HaZeh, in terms of different shittas in the early Rishonim, Achriya, we talk about the Chumash Hadeshet and the Ogur and the Maril, and they were the Ashkenaz of the 1300s and the 1400s. So they all had this chumrah. This chumrah became known as their chumrah. V'chein Neigin says the Ramah, v'chol medinos elu. He says that this is the practice in all of our countries. Now again, this is already the Ramah writing in the 1500s. The Ramah lived in Poland, but we know that all the Minhagim that came to Poland came right out of Germany, because Reuben the Jews who ended up in Poland came from Germany. All the Ashkenazim, Reuben the Ashkenazim came that route from Germany in the 1400s and the 1500s, when, as Jewish history always was, when things got bad in one place, they got good in another place. So it was a very, very simple calculation. In the 1300s, it was the years of the Black Death, and pogroms, and the Gefrelich, and whatever was left in Germany was being decimated. And the king of Poland at the time decided that somebody gave him a great idea that the Jews know how to do business. So he invited all the Jews to come to Poland. It didn't take much to get them to leave. They were getting killed in Germany, and they came to Poland, and they started to set up communities and yeshivas. We are the descendants of those people. So when they came from Germany, they brought a lot of the Rabbim from Germany with them. And this minhag, which was from the Chumash Hadeshet and from the Rimul, from all the German Rabbanim of the 1300s, so became the deep prevalent minhag in throughout Poland. And the Ramah puts a stamp of approval on the minhag, the Ein L'Shanos. One should not change this minhag under any circumstances. So this has become the absolute standard minhag Ashkenaz already for at least 500-600 years.
Were there any other Ashkenaz communities besides Germany at the time of the Rick and the...
Not... I mean, you had a little bit, you had the beginnings of people in Poland.
So it was really scarred and Ashkenaz, basically.
Yeah, I mean, again, Ashkenaz, Germany, I'm not a monk in the 1300s history, the borders were so, everything was so different. Germany was not the Germany of today, not the Germany of the 1900s, it wasn't one country called Germany. You had 15,000 different dukes and, in different sub-states, etc., whatever they were functioning as. So it was all one very, very big area called Ashkenaz in our lingo. So sometimes when you see this, as A, you'd observe correctly, it sounds, this is an unbelievable chumrah. This is such a chumrah. So you think, I mean, come on, this is like really, really hard. And then you come down to reality and you realize that this is almost never relevant. Why is it almost never relevant? Because this is all assuming that the woman has stopped bleeding. If she stopped bleeding, so then we can begin to discuss, have the 5 days passed. 99.9% of the time, the woman is bleeding for 5 days. She's bleeding for 6 days. She's bleeding for 7 days. So almost nobody ever gets clean before 5 days anyway. So the chumrah is such a... It's a big chumrah, but in terms of practical reality, it doesn't change all that much. The only time that it actually does change things is for a woman who got something almost out of the ordinary. Okay, a woman got, you know, some spot in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a Yimetara. I don't mean Yimetara, this expression, but in the main, you know, days when she was Muteres, and Nebuch, she had an Asahar, again, which is very unlikely because the woman is taking the precautions, she's not wearing white, and, you know, it's very unlikely she's going to become a sewer just in the middle of nowhere. So 99.9% of the time when she becomes a sewer, it's going to be anywhere a regular period. A regular period anywhere going to last for a minimum of 5 days. So it's almost not going to have too much teeth to it, this chumrah. It has had a little bit of a, almost a chis amase of this chumrah bizman hazeh, because so many women are on pills, and when women are on pills, so the periods very often tend to become very, very light and very, very short. So if you have a woman who's taking certain medication, her period may be 1 day, 2 days maximum, and then she's done. And then she's ready to start counting Shabbakim. So then we throw around this room, then we say, wait a second, not so simple. Then you have to wait 5 days. So we do practice this 5 days. So when a woman learns Sabbath Mishpacha, she gets into that mode of 5 and 7. But in terms of month in, month out, it doesn't mean all that much. And then at the end, the Allah quotes another chumrah that we in fact have not adopted in our communities. V'yesh nashim shenovu l'hach ve'ol l'hamtin at shiva yomim. That's the way 7 and 7. The question is where in the world that came from. So the Ramah is not convincing him anywhere. V'ein tam b'dover. So the Ramah writes, he doesn't think there's any real good reason to justify such a practice. And therefore, v'amach v'yachve. Those who want to be machve, they're going to be machve, not v'estayim, said the Ramah. But if you want to know what I think about that chumrah, the Ramah is an interesting lashon. V'amekel niska l'hach de'matzva l'mitzvah. So if the person who's making of this gets rewarded because he's being Yotzei Mitzvah, he's being with his wife earlier, then this Chumrah would dictate. So therefore the Ramah is not really very enthusiastic about the Chumrah of 7 and 7, but the Chumrah, this Chashash of 5 and 7, the Ramah very much is in favor, and that again has become our standard practice. But if you're going back to this whole discussion, whether you're the Shulchan Aruch 4 days, whether Ramah the 5 days, it's all... boils down to is there still a chashash of poletes, which would lead us to believe that what if the couple knows that there's no poletes, but they didn't have tashmish? They know for a fact that they didn't have tashmish the night before she got a period. They haven't had tashmish 3 days before she got a period. So obviously there's no concern of poletes. So maybe we should say that for med of any of these chashashas, any of these 4 days or 5 days, whatever numbers they are, they only make sense if there really was tashmish immediately before Riyaz Dab. But if we know for a fact we have that buffer built in for a couple of days, so what can go wrong? So the Ramah, on the first Ramah Makomos, if it says CP 19, so the Ramah writes in Simukuk Tariva, V'yesha kosvu, sh'achshav ein l'chalek ben shimsha in v'ayla l'lo shimsha. So the Ramah quotes that there are those who write that Bizman Azeh were very nervous to differentiate between did she have tashmish, did she have not have tashmish. One can understand why. This is already very, very shame. You start to tell the Hamon Am that, well, you don't really have to count 5 days. You only have to count 5 days if you had tashmish right before. So she's going to remember. But what did that? For the woman who can't tell whether it's been a shmasha, so we're nervous about that, so that she's going to remember 4 days ago, when the last time they were together. No. But therefore, the Ramah writes, there are those who don't like that difference. The chol isha shiroa afilu kesem. Even if it's a kesem, there's only a derabon, there's no derais, not even a wild derais here. Tzricha lahamtin heyomim im yom shirasabo, v'tifsof li'eis erev, v'tispo shivinikiyam, v'chei noagim v'vdinos elu, and the Ramah puts on his next step approval, v'ein l'shanas. One should not change, one should not question, one shouldn't play any games whatsoever with this. One almost hears like a little bit of an echo of Rabbi Zeira in this. Rabbi Zeira, you know, the Chumash of Bnos Yisrael, Hilchos Nida is very complicated. Harayim, we've been learning it for a year and a half, and we haven't even finished halfway through the first set of Shiurim. So Hilchos Nida is very complicated. King of Pischa Nida and Gufei Torah, it's very, very complicated. And we're almost trying to make Hilchos Nida simple for people. You start to tell people, well, sometimes you count Shivinikim, and sometimes you don't. And sometimes you're in Nida, and sometimes you're Azov. Sometimes you're Azov, and you're not. people start to swim. And when people start to swim, that's when mistakes start to happen. So Chazal almost had the hands tied. That means because we're dealing with people who just push it, can't hold up with all these things, so we say, listen, you know what? It's always Shevinikiyim. And now, when it comes to this Chashash HaPoletas, so the truth is sometimes Chashash HaPoletas makes sense, and sometimes it doesn't really make sense. But if you're going to start to tell people, well, for you it's 4, and for you it's 3, and for you it's 5, and for you it's nothing, if you're... It's a very bad way of setting up the halachas of Moram. So therefore, we almost have no choice. We have to err on the side of caution. Now again, if this would have been something that would have really, really, you know, disrupted marriages and causing tzaras and preventing children from being born, so probably the Chachmei Hador would have thought a lot more and said, you know what, we have to really, really weigh it very, very heavily. Should we throw this chumrah, gabi chumrah, gabi chumrah, at the expense of X, Y, Z? At the end of the day, the expense is not so great, because 99% of them should not go to the mikveh anyway until 5. So for the once in a blue moon that we're going to have to add on an extra day here and there, so it's worth it, it's well worth it as a communal policy. Everyone should be 5-7. Every Kala learns first day teacher, 5-7, 5-7, 5-7, and therefore you don't have to start making chilukim and papulim each and every time to figure it.
It's the Ramah.
So it's tricky in the Sfarad. There are different practices in different Sfarad communities. There are some Sfarad communities that do, in fact, have 4 and 7. There are some Sfarad communities that have adopted the 5 and 7 also. I don't know, we'll get more. All the history, but there are some Sephardic communities we find in other Minhagim that have adopted certain Ashkenazi Minhagim. I don't know if it's across the board, but I know that in some areas the Moroccan community has picked up certain Ashkenazi influences. I think probably because geographically Morocco was very close to Europe, so they're just right over the right under the Mediterranean. So I know the mashal kidneys. Like, I think many of the Moroccans do not eat kidneys on base of a strange, thing. So I don't know whether they're the ones who also picked up this 5. I know some Sephardim have picked up the 5 and 7. So the Bar Yashulcha now, on the bottom of the 29th page, those who have a very good vision, so the Bar Yashulcha explains that where this Chumra came from, that even if they didn't have relations, the Tamba Zekosav Eshach, B'Sheima Chumas Adeshen, because we didn't know Shimsha, but the Shimsha were afraid if you tell her that you didn't have Tashvish, you didn't have Tashvish, people will get confused. Well, the Fiyah Nira Bira Gezeri, it appears that what the Chachamim in those generations were concerned with, Lo Yadu Inshi Litlo Siba Samtana Be'ezu Uvda She'ira Kodam Riyaz Dama. To tell people that you have to wait because of what happened last week, you did have Tashvish, you didn't, people can't process this. The Lav Kuli Amadini Kviri Leida She Tashvish Yigrov Etzlai Zashinu Bidin Tumasa. Well, okay, therefore, Im Natya Shalala Hamtim Below Shimsha, if we say to you 1 month, oh, you don't have to wait for 5 days, that was all we explained it all outside. Now he's speaking. What if you had a situation where they didn't have relations, not because they chose not to have relations, they couldn't have, even if they would have wanted to have relations. Kigon, shahoisa avela. What if she's counting Shivanakiyam, she happens to be in Shiva, not Shivanakiyam, she's in Shiva for a relative, or Bailava, Haya Avil, or the husband's in Avelis, so the din is that an Avil, either him or her, anyway they're not having Tashmish. The Ira Riyasa Eze Yom Achat Chilas Avelis, so this is better than the case of the Ramah. The Ramah was talking about the couple could have had Tashmish, but they chose not to. Here, she tried to start Shivanakiyam. She knows she can tell you with absolute certainty she didn't have Tashmish, not a chance of having Tashmish, because Hilchos Aveilos dictated that she's not allowed to have Tashmish. To my yol lo nesha oisa asur b'tashmish, kevin she anoshim enam tom siva se'enim b'tashmish kalikar. So he says, so the Baruch goes, so on. So even though we know with certainty, it's not that we're concerned that she had Tashmish, we know she didn't have Tashmish, because Hilchos Aveilos asas aren't Tashmish, but it doesn't matter, she's going to get confused. If we tell her this month, you don't have to wait 5, she'll make a mistake next month. So therefore, v'chein hecha, or what would the din be? Shapirsa nida b'yom ha-kipurim o'b'tishabaf. She starts to get a period on the day when she knows she didn't have Tashmish in the last 12 hours, because it's b'yom kipur o'tishabaf. Lo nucha l'hatchil l'mnos m'tchil se'yamahu, m'tchil l'mnos m'riya kevin shlo yadu klal l'mnos b'tashmish. It goes through the math. When yom kipur is on the 4th day, the 5th day, bottom line is the Bar Yashulchan says that it's impossible to start giving kulas, because if you start giving kulas, it's going to lead to confusion. If you skip down a little bit, the first word line is Nir Lafiyah Nezdaiti, Dun Lam and Ayin Dalit.
Since we're going back and forth, all the possibilities that you can't give rulers when there's an Indian that the rabbis asked on a shaila, you know, where a woman has difficulty getting pregnant.
Oh, it does. Okay, we're going to get to that. So let's not forget all these are chumras again, the chumras again, the chumras. When you have what we call shas of chak, then very often these chumras and rabbis don't apply. Well, yes,
but this seems like more than a chumra. It's like.
It's a very, very stretched out chashash, right? But it's a chashash that had the Ramah's approval to it. And
right, no, I'm saying just the opposite. It's more than just a plain chumra, because if it was just plain chumra, they would have more, like, you know, the Rishon would be slightly maybe more makel.
It was accepted as a minig across the board.
Yeah, it's like, so I'm saying
it's a kidneyus. It's a kidneyus. Because it's so calm, it became so chumra.
Right. So. Is
there right. So there is definitely going to be leeway, yes. There is definitely, we're going to talk about it, but I won't get to it today. We'll meet Shem next week. So now he quotes Amnon, B'tshua Shai, I don't know who that is, one of the Echronim, Simukov, Kosov, Shekoshi Yasur B'tashmish, Matcheles Limnos B'na Esahi, the came and she Yasur L'Shai, at least about the Shemshu. What do you mean, Yagaz Eifel? We know she didn't have Tashmish. So it's almost like a psychological machlokes. Why did the Ramah, the Shemshu, why did they make this Chumra even if we know they didn't have Tashmish? Is Pshat because we're afraid maybe they forgot and maybe they did have Tashmish, or is it because she's going to mess up next month? So if you say we're afraid she forgot, maybe she did have Tashmish, she knows she didn't have Tashmish, she was in Avelis, she knows she didn't have Tashmish on Yom Kippur, so that she knows for a fact. But if you're concerned that what's going to happen next month, she's going to, last month I did four, this month I did four, so then it has to be almost a low plug. So Shubra Isi says that up to now, it sounds like he's talking about once in a blue moon. How often does it happen that she gets a period on Yom Kippur, and then it's a question of an extra day? No, this is very relevant to Maisa. Shuvah Isi B'Nef Shuvah She Kosev L'Shem Sefer Tosfos Yushalayim L'Stapik Bazel Din Adelos Ve'Ela B'Tzorch Iyun. He's not sure what the din is. Ve'Ayno B'Sefer Dovev Meisharim Simchei Shadan Gamke B'Kein Zeh. This is a real shadow that he's about to discuss. L'Inyan Isha She'esh L'Veses Kavua V'Kon Shadar Kalinos K'Lel Chafei B'Chodesh. This happens all the time. A woman has a vest. We didn't even talk about vestas here. A woman has a vest. She has a set period. So the halacha, she's not allowed to be with the husband. And very often you have overlaps of vestas. She can't be with the husband already today and tomorrow and the next day because one's a Yom HaChodesh and one's a Yom HaFlug and one's a bet. You can have sometimes 2-3 days before the period starts. We pass in the Shulchan Aruch, she can't be with the husband, and then she gets a period, and she gets a very light period. She gets a 3-day period, a 2-day period. So maybe we could argue, according to that Tzav L'Hokhar, according to those who are Mekel, who are willing maybe to be Mekel, a Chua Shai, that whenever we know for a fact that they weren't together because of halachic reasons, if we know they weren't together for halachic reasons, then she gets a freebie. She can start the count from when the halacha prohibited Rabbi Tashmish. So even though she wasn't a Nubi yet, she was only a Vela, she was a Yom Kippur, she was a Tishbuk, she was a Samach Levesta, whatever it was. She wasn't a real bona fide Nida yet. We didn't pass in a Surah Tzachos Nida. We passed in preacher Samach Levesta, whatever those parameters of those halachas are. Once there was an issuing of a Pesach, a Surah, then the count of 5 days in effect can begin, because then there's mamish nothing to worry about. Because then there's absolutely zero concern to any paletes, and it's not a low pull across the board. So this Badi Ashokhan leaves that this tzorch iyun bazeh, he's not sure when that's the din. There are mekilim b'zman hazeh, we tend to be mekel. Many rabbanim tend to be mekel in the shayla. This is all the time. Someone asked me the shayla yesterday. This is mamash all the time. That a woman has a onus of eses, or she has some equivalent of onus of eses. She took a placebo and she thought she's going to start to bleed, so she stopped every day. Any case where the rabbi paskins for them, you shouldn't be together Tashmish for whatever reason, so that is considered to be quote unquote like the beginning of the Re'iyah, and you can start the 5 days from then, even though it may only be 2.5 days since the blood actually started. As long as it was a clear cut sack to Isser, that would be sufficient to start the clock running. So hopefully next week we'll pick up with this, because this is very, very important. This mamash shit happens all the time, just to fine tune a little bit the parameters of this thing. Oh yeah, thank you for the text.